Welcome to Mesh Talk. Today's episode was originally recorded in German, and we've used AI to make it accessible to a wider audience. We're excited to share this innovative experience with you and hope you enjoy listening.
Welcome to the podcast of Haver and Boker's Wire Weaving Division. In Mesh Talk, we will dedicate ourselves once a month to the topic of wire mesh as a medium for screening, filtration, and design. My name is Christina Kemper, and I'm excited to talk with my colleagues from Elda, a lovely town in North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany. It's the headquarters of our family business, which, along with its subsidiaries and representatives around the globe, is one of the most internationally renowned manufacturers of wire mesh and wire mesh products. We'll discuss the applications, advantages, and potential of metal wire mesh, a material whose versatility is often underestimated. I also learn new things myself. Despite having worked at Haver and Boker for 20 years, there's always something new to learn, thanks to the variety of uses and ongoing development. For this first episode of the Mesh Talk series, I'm joined by Klaus Sklors. Hello, Klaus. It's great to have you here.
I am pleased to be here today.
As the sales manager of the wire weaving division, you're perfectly suited to give us an introduction to the company and answer a few of my questions. Let's start by having you introduce yourself briefly.
Yes, my name is Klaus Sklors. I've had the privilege of working at this company for 32 years now. I started here in 1992, completed my training and studies, and then worked in the HR department for 2 years. After that, I transitioned into sales for industrial screens, focusing on large-scale industrial sieving. Later, I spent several years managing a Haver and Boker subsidiary in Belgium. I subsequently held leadership roles in various business units of the wire weaving division, and as of January 1st, 2024, I am the sales manager of the wire weaving division.
You've been with the company for 32 years, and I mentioned earlier that I've been here for 20 years. But I also know that the average tenure here is more than 20 years, meaning I'm still on the lower end of the average company loyalty. What is the exact number?
You're not far off. Currently, the average length of service among our employees is about 23 years.
And that's part of what defines the company.
Absolutely. As I've explained with my own career path, it's not hard to stay with the company for so long even if you want to grow and develop your career. The size and structure of the company offer many interesting opportunities without needing to leave. You can stay within the corporate group and pursue diverse roles.
You once told me that it's possible here to think beyond one's own boundaries if one wants to.
That's true, and I still believe that today.
How would you describe the wire weaving division? Let's say I'm a trade fair visitor without any prior knowledge.
I'd describe us as a large family business, which truly defines and shapes us. We are not only family-owned, but also still led by the owning family. As a wire weaving division, we employ about 500 people at our Ildu site and nearly 3,500 worldwide. That's quite large for a family business. However, we've maintained our familial structures and a corporate culture based on teamwork and the idea of being one big family. What do we do? Primarily, we manufacture all kinds of wire mesh products, as the name suggests. This might be difficult to imagine for outsiders, so I'll give some examples. We focus mainly on filtration, separating solids from liquids or gases, and screening, which involves sizing solid materials. Another major area is design and architectural mesh, used for interior design, vehicle interiors, or building facades.
There's a common misconception that we should address. Wire mesh isn't the same as chain-link fencing, right?
That's correct. It's a running joke here. We make everything out of metal wire except fences.
Exactly. Let's move on to the product itself. Can you describe metal wire mesh?
Metal wire mesh, what can you imagine? Think of the small weaving loom you may have used in school, where you interlace threads in one direction with threads in another. This process, in broad terms, is what we do. We weave materials, but unlike textiles, we use metallic wires, and we do it very quickly. The critical difference between textiles and industrially produced wire mesh lies in the focus. For textiles, the fabric's overall appearance is key. For us, the size of the openings between the wires determines the precision of filtration or sieving.
What sizes are we talking about, from small to large? Do you have figures for us?
Of course. Our wire weaving division is one of the largest globally, offering one of the widest ranges. We start with wires as fine as 15 microns to give you an idea. That's a quarter of a human hair, which is about 65 microns thick. For comparison, a spider thread is about 9 microns thick. We are not far off from that. On the other end, we work with wires up to 25 millimeters thick, about the diameter of a very thick thumb. These are often used in sieving applications requiring high durability and resistance.
Does collaboration with subsidiaries play a role in achieving this wide range of meshes? How does the cooperation work, considering Haver and Boker operates worldwide?
Yes, that plays a role. As you said, we are represented worldwide and have subsidiaries on all 5 continents of the world. In most cases, where we have subsidiaries that produce products themselves, they manufacture these for the local market. These products are either tailored to the specific needs of the market, or the costs for transport from Germany would exceed the actual production costs. Then it makes sense not to export them. Additionally, these subsidiaries generally operate as sales companies for all the products we offer within the corporate group. This setup is essential to establish local proximity to customers, be in the same time zone, facilitate communication, and provide on-site consulting services.
Absolutely. Earlier, you mentioned the analogy of comparing hair. In the upcoming podcasts, there are likely to be many terms used that are common internally, but not well known externally. Could you give us a preview of what terminology to expect?
Of course. There will certainly be many terms that are used internally within our company or are common in the industry. I can't list all of them, but a few key terms that are sure to come up include mesh size, wire diameter, grain size, and possibly mesh count. These are fundamental terms related to wire mesh. For example, mesh size refers to the open space between two wires. When you place a piece of mesh on a table, the mesh size is essentially the part you can see through. The wire diameter is the thickness of the wire used to create the mesh. Then there's another term specifically for certain types of mesh called filter cloths, where there is no visible open mesh and the material appears opaque. These types of mesh have openings called pores, and the material is defined by the size of these pores. The fourth term I mentioned is mesh count. While it's less commonly used in Europe today, it's still frequently encountered outside Europe. Mesh count refers to the number of meshes per inch and doesn't convey much additional information beyond that.
Okay, I would say most people know where wire mesh is used and its applications. Do you have examples you can share?
I could list examples for hours. Let's start with some of the most well-known ones. I think everyone has this at home. It's the aerator screen in water taps. In almost every tap, there's a small metallic mesh. When you look up into a tap, the first thing you see is likely a product from us. But there are also much finer mesh structures that you encounter daily without realizing it. For instance, the filter in almost every dishwasher, located in the sump of the pump.
That's the wavy part at the bottom, right?
Exactly. Another example of the previously mentioned filter cloths can be found in every inkjet printer. A small piece of this filter mesh ensures that the nozzle, which applies ink to the paper, doesn't get clogged by particles from the ink tank. And if you've been to a concert or watched people singing on TV, you've likely seen a microphone in their hands. What you see there is a mesh protecting the device's electronics and acoustic elements.
An essential component of this podcast. I also have an example to add, architectural mesh, like the one you can see on the ceiling at Dusseldorf Airport.
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite project from the many you've worked on over the years?
I don't have just one favorite. I've had the chance to work on many great projects over the years. A project becomes exciting and rewarding when it presents challenges we need to solve, whether they are technical challenges involving complex products, or the development of new manufacturing methods, or high or unique quality requirements for testing. But there are also non-technical challenges, such as handling a large volume of products that create logistical hurdles, or meeting specific quality or documentation requirements for products that are manufactured over many years. Those challenges make a project interesting to me and keep me passionate about my work.
So, when customer demands are high, you adapt development accordingly and expand capabilities within the company.
Absolutely. We welcome every customer, of course, but we especially value customers with whom we can build long-term partnerships. Our goal, and a significant strength of our company, is to work with customers over many years, co-develop products, and grow together.
That brings us to the next question about customers. When customers come here or when you are in discussions, is there a typical aha effect that you always recognize?
Yes, there's often when we invite customers to visit us for the first time and they see our production facilities. They frequently realize that we are a high-tech company, not just a small workshop weaving a few wires together. That element of surprise is common. Most of our customers have never seen a weaving facility before. We operate in a niche market, so to speak. Another common reaction during facility tours occurs when people see how we handle these extremely fine wires. Often, manual work is still required because the precision and delicacy of the materials go beyond the capabilities of modern machinery, such as robotic arms. The sensitivity required cannot yet be matched by machines, so human hands are indispensable.
I recently attended a facility tour myself, and it was truly impressive, I must say. What can listeners look forward to as they journey through the business segments in the upcoming podcast episodes?
They can expect many exciting insights, as we've hinted at. We serve and support virtually every industrial sector you can imagine, from raw material processing, such as sand extraction at gravel plants, to pharmaceuticals, the chemical industry, medicine production, the automotive industry, and aerospace. Each of these sectors involves different products and unique challenges. I am confident that the podcasts from the various business areas will continuously present new, fascinating topics and discussions.
I recall a colleague mentioning that we work with all four elements and develop solutions for them. That's something to look forward to. I'm excited about what's to come. I'm also glad you joined us today to kick off this journey and would say we'll hear from each other again soon in the next podcast. See you then.